title of my sermon is called When Life Gives You Lemons, Trust God to Make Lemonade or Something Better Like Coffee, which I would prefer. I don't know about you guys, but yeah. That's up for debate. So that's what I just wanted to talk to you guys about today, because that's, you know, it's a big issue with a lot of things today in general with throughout the world. You know, every single day you look at the news at what's going on, and there's like just one more reason, it seems, almost every hour of every day to like worry about things and like, man, how's that going to turn out? How is this going to turn out? Or is my home going to be okay? Is my family going to be okay? What should I be doing to protect myself from all these things? And throughout time, people have depended on God no matter what. There's been a lot worse things happening in the world than what's happening right now, and people have been just fine depending on God. Thousands of years, and people have depended on God. Amen. There's nothing new and this year, no matter how crazy it sounds, no matter how bad it's going to get, nothing is going to be too bad for that. So that should always be our fallback no matter what. And I know it's not always easy for everyone. You know, trusting is hard for some people because people have been hurt in the past from trusting the wrong person, possibly. Or maybe you don't know God well enough. Maybe you don't know him well enough and you find it difficult to trust him. Because, you know, trusting someone comes with getting to know someone. You can't just trust someone you don't know. And so I'd encourage you, I'm going to go throughout this, but God has a great track record throughout the whole Bible of coming through and having people able to be trusted in him. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. So, and to start that off, I want to talk about what is trust. Because, you know, maybe we got to dig into this a little bit to really understand why we can trust in God. So I'm going to start off with my first verse. It's going to be Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. That should be up. So we'll read this. So it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." That's a pretty good verse. I mean, if you don't know whether or not to trust God, I think that's, I mean, I could end right there, and we can go get snacks. We'll be fine. It'll be a great Sunday morning. We can go take a nap. It's good. And sometimes, you know, that's what we need. We need to get in and see what the word says about what we need to do. How many know we should do what the word says? Maybe. I don't know. I think it's a pretty good idea to do. But I also want to read you this. So this is the Septuagint translation. For those of you that don't know, the Septuagint is like the original translation. And that's where like all the Bible translations kind of get all their things from. But I really liked this version. And it says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." And I really like that because it's really, there's a lot of action in there if you look at it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's something we do. And he will make straight your paths. That's something he does. So we need to acknowledge that God is capable of doing the things that he promises, but we have to acknowledge that, you know, it takes action on our part for some of those things to come about. So I looked at the Greek word for trust, and pronouncing these words is always, it's up in the air, man. I don't know what's going on, but it's pisti. I should have put it up there so you guys don't make fun of me, but it's P-I-S-T-I, pisti, derived from the verb pistevo. That's probably not how you pronounce that either. And that means to believe and to have faith. And the thing about pistevo is pisti is derived from, pistevo is a verb. How many know? Remember, it's been a while for some of y'all. But what's a verb? It's an action. It's something you do, not a noun. Something you do. So I think that's really cool. That, and, you know, that's the same with a lot of things in the Bible. You know, like faith, trust, loving. All those things in the Bible, those are all verbs. And those are oftentimes the how we take part of what God has given us, is we have to act on them. Because it's a verb. It's something we have to actively do. And everything God has provided for us is something we have to actively grab and take. How many know our salvation? What did we do? We confessed with our mouth. It's an action. And we were saved. For healing, we believe that God died for our healing. There's our healing. So all those things we have to remember, because sometimes we can just kind of be, I don't want to be mean, but a little complacent and, you know, just expect all of these things to come about. Like, oh, it'll come at some point. I'm just going to chill, relax, and wait until that happens. But the Bible's pretty clear. We have to take action. And I don't think they would have used verbs in that if they wanted us to just sit around and kind of twiddle our thumbs waiting for things to happen. Our relationship with God is a two-way street. For us to hear God, we have to listen. You know, that's how most conversations work. You know, it's not always a great conversation if you're not listening. My mom gets real annoyed when I do that, when she's talking and I'm not listening. My fiance is the same way. You know, it's not fun when it's not a two-way street. It's the same thing for healing. We have to believe for healing to receive the healing. For us to have peace in our life and to know without a shadow of a doubt that God is supplying our every need to his riches and glory, we need to trust that he is giving us that peace, that he does have things, that he's got our back. Our thoughts and our actions have to align with what God says, and that's how we actively trust God. So that's kind of step one for trusting God, is controlling what we're trusting in. So if you're not trusting God, what are you trusting in? Because you're trusting in something. Is it, oh, my job's got me, I'm going to be fine through all this, I'll be fine. He's a really good boss, he really likes me. I'm sure, you know, if something happened, he would really take care of me. Doesn't work out for everyone. It's not. And so our thoughts are one of the biggest things. And Dad's talked about this author before, but Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she's a neuroscientist. Neurologist? There's no such thing as neuroscientist. Neurologist. That's the right word. But she, in her book, she goes really super, super in depth in how our thoughts really shape our brain. And it's really powerful, and that's why it really is step one for how do we know if we're trusting in God or not, is what we're thinking about. Because if we're thinking about the wrong things, man, your thoughts just pull you in all sorts of different directions. You could be thinking about one thing one second, and you can be trusting in one God, but if one slightly bad thing happens to you, if you don't let your thoughts get the best of you, you can just go out of control just off of one thing. So we really have to be mindful of what that is. We have to be, and she mentions that, it's not something that happens passively. Again, it's something we have to actively pursue. You can't just let your thoughts do whatever. You have to be intentional. Because I don't know about y'all, but if I'm driving and I just let my thoughts do whatever, I'm thinking about nothing. I can think about 7,000 different things on my drive in here and to work if I'm not careful. So it's really important. Isaiah 26:3-4 is my next verse. And that says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. And how many know that word steadfast, that's another verb. That's another verb. So it's something we have to do. And the definition of that in the Bible, it's to be unwavering and firm. So we have to actively be firm. We have to resist the things that are happening against us, and we have to actively be continually putting our trust in the one who's got our back. So that's the basis of what trust is. And so once we know that, then we can really dive into what that can do for us, and also that God is worthy of having our trust. Like I said in the beginning, trust is proven over time, and God has done that over and over and over again. How many know that? God has proven himself faithful, gosh, just in the Bible itself, thousands of times. In the world, millions and billions of times. There's no problem anyone should have with trusting in God. So I just have a few examples. Abraham in James 2:23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God. That's a verb. And it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Abraham trusted in God, and God came through for him. David, Psalm 31:14-15, but I trust in you, Lord. Trust, another verb. I say, you are my God, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. God's got us no matter who's pursuing us or who's coming against us. God has got us. Mary, who Jesus' mother. I mean, that is the ultimate, man, I don't know. How many of y'all would have trusted God in that situation that she was put in? It's tough, but it says, Luke 1:38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. She trusted in God. all throughout the Bible, God has proven himself again and again. These people actively trusted in God, and they made a conscious decision to not see what was happening in the natural, but to rather rely on what God was telling them to do. All three of those people, Abraham, David, and Mary, they were insurmountable things happening to them in the natural. Abraham was 90 years old. He cannot have a child, and God said he would have a child. David was 12, 13, maybe even younger, and he was told to kill a 9-foot-tall giant. Mary, virgin birth, was told that it would work out for her favor and that she would bring through the Savior of the world. Those are all really, really tough things to go through if your trust is not in the right place. And if your trust is in the right place, if their trust was in the right place, you're going to buckle. That's too much. So that's why our trust has to be in the right spot. And God can't make you trust him. That's something we have to do. Again, action. If your buddy is asking you to trust him, if your buddy is like, hey, man, spot me $20. I'm good for it. And he owes you like $300. That's not, you don't trust that guy. That's not going to happen. He doesn't have a good track record. But God has a great track record. And God is not going to hold it against you if you're struggling with it. You know, Jonah and the whale, Jonah did not trust God at the beginning. He ran away. Rightfully so, honestly, probably. It's tough. It's not always easy to trust God. But God is faithful even when you do that. He's not going to hold it against you. Even when Jonah came back and repented, he didn't hold it against him. He was like, well, I'm going to use someone else. Go away. You're nothing to me. He still managed to work through him and send him to do his will. Even when he knew Jonah didn't trust him, but Jonah turned around and God still accepted him for it and didn't hold it against him. Like I said, God has the entire Bible to show himself reliable. And trust is achieved by having that track record, because it's like our credit score, you know. Our credit score, one of the most important things in it is credit history. And, you know, if, you know, the credit unions can see, oh, yeah, he's made these payments for, you know, 2-3 years, he's good for it, then they're good for it. And that's what the Bible in all reality is God's track record of him proving himself faithful and continuing to prove himself faithful. And that's really what the Bible should be, is we should always be seeing the Bible as God's favor towards mankind. How much he loves us. There's story after story. You can open the Bible at any spot and you'll find God proving himself faithful to us. And so that's for people who are maybe not too sure who God is or what his will for us is. Just give his only son to die for us. That's how much he loves us. And so that's how you can trust in him. And it can do a lot for you and me. So trusting in someone else takes the pressure off of us to fulfill everything on our own. Like I was saying, there's a lot happening in our world that it's really tough sometimes to really put 100% of your trust in God. And it's something that we need to do, because it's something that just doesn't come naturally to a lot of people. There's a lot of things happening, and especially now with all the, everything in the world, the finances, the economic stability, everything, it's all kind of pushing against us and trying to convince us to let it affect us. But God's always got us. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what happens. It didn't say in there if the economy is good. I don't think they had much of an economy back in Jesus' time. There's nothing, you know. And he still provided. God will always provide no matter what. And when we realize that God is the provider of our finances, the provider of our healing, and the solution to our issues, the problems we face become small in comparison to what he's done. Amen. God has done some insane things in the past that should make whatever's going on in your life all that much smaller to him and you. It's small to him. It's nothing. Your finances are nothing to him. Look at Solomon in the Bible. Man, gold, I think they had it estimated, like, by today's standards, like trillions of dollars in gold and jewels and animals and just real estate and everything. And God brought all of that to him. And Solomon didn't even ask that from him. He was like, just give me wisdom. And God was like, okay, I'll give you that and much more. God is an abundant God, and he's not just going to give us the bare minimum of what we ask for. He's going to make sure that you are taken care of and that you can be a blessing to other people. That's important to God. It's like when you're a dependent on someone's taxes. I know I was, I'm not anymore. I'm a big boy now, but I'm not a dependent on my family's taxes anymore. And when you're a dependent, you're not expected to pay a thing. Thank God, because I had no money. I would be thrown in jail at 8 years old. I wasn't making anything. I can't make anything. And that's how God is. We are like a dependent on God's taxes. We aren't expected to pay anything. All we have to do is receive it. God already paid the price. He paid federal, state, spiritual, all those things for us. We don't have to worry about a single thing because he paid all that for us. We just have to sit there, accept it. And like I said, we have to take action to believe it. We have to let it happen to us because we can fight it, and people do. You know, if you want to be poor, you will be poor. Like I said, God can't make us trust him. That's something that we have to do. God is a good God, and he's so good that he let us have that choice. And, you know, it's a great thing to have, but, man, if you don't take advantage of it, it can hurt real bad. That's why God wants us to take advantage of it. He wants it more than anything for us to know who we are. And trust is a catalyst for everything else. You know, like I was saying, healing, finances, relationships, jobs coming to you. That's all trust. Trust is the catalyst for all of that to happen. Because to have faith, we have to trust that God is faithful. For us to have healing, we have to trust that God died for our healing and wants us well. He wants us well. For God to bring finances, we have to trust that God wants us to be prosperous and to be able to bless other people. So that's a big thing. And all those things require trust. You know, those are all verbs in themselves, but the ultimate verb that comes before that ultimately is trust. And it's much more important than people think. And like I said, it's much easier to have relationships with people who you trust. And if you know, maybe you know God, you haven't known him that long, and maybe it's difficult, but once you get to know him and you can trust him, that's when everything starts to happen. That's when everything starts to fall into place. As soon as you do that, that's, man, it's life-changing. When all his blessings and favor rain down upon you because you trust him, that is when you're able to impact this earth and live the life that he intended for you to live on this earth. Because he doesn't want us to just trust him that we're going to be in heaven and then everything will be good. Everything is going to be good right here, right now. And when you trust God, that makes all the devil's attacks against you, his lies against you, that much quieter. Because if you don't trust God, then all those devils, all his tactics and words that he's saying to you, you know, they're a lot more convincing if you don't have anything to rely on. You know, when the devil comes against you and says, God doesn't want you healed, God doesn't want you whole. Well, if you don't trust God that he wants you healed and whole, then yeah, that's what you think and that's what'll happen. But when you trust in God, there is not a thing that the devil can come and say to you because you have the ultimate provider in comparison to that. And when you compare to that, well, you say that God doesn't want to heal me, but I trust in the God that healed the blind man, that healed the lame man, that healed the leper, that healed, man, fill in the blank. But it's an amazing thing, and that's, especially in this time when you trust in God, it doesn't matter whether it's the devil's attacks, whether it's the news' attacks, whether it's, you know, other countries' attacks, it doesn't matter because you have the ultimate comparison to trust in. So living a life that is centered around that fact, the fact that God wants to provide every mental, physical, and spiritual need for you, that is a life that you are truly going to be at peace. And that's what we need to realize because ultimately, it's our job to fulfill the will of God in our life. And if we're not trusting in God for all of those things, we're not doing that. If we're not trusting in God that he wants us healed, we're not healing people. We're not performing healing with God through us. If we don't believe that God wants us blessed and financially prosperous, we're not giving to those in need and who need it. So if we're not trusting in God, we're not able to fully live out what he has for us and to really reach our full potential. And that's why it's so important, because it doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone around you. It affects your family, your friends. It affects everything. It's important. It's a huge deal. And it's a huge deal to God, because he wants Jesus to have died to provide everything for you. And he wants all of those things to be used. He wants them to be enabled in your life. He doesn't want it to just go on, you know, not being enabled. So, and that'll bring you closer to God when you do trust him and all those things are able to work in your life. Because if you trust someone, you become closer to them. If you don't trust someone, you're not really gonna, you know, if you have friends in your lives or your work that you don't trust, you know, I don't really want to say this, all those things, you're not going to be close to that person in the long run. But when you trust God and really rely on his word and what he has given you, you are going to, man, in your Bible, you're seeing all the things that he's done for people throughout history. That is going to bring you closer to him, closer than you ever could have been if you weren't trusting in him. And that's, you know, you're ultimately going to spend more time with him in that as well, when you're trusting, getting in the word. And all of this in conclusion is just to say that it is bringing you closer to God and really living your will out through your life, his will through your life. So it's important, and he's made it clear what his intentions are, and it's to grow close to him and to fulfill his will on this earth. That's why we're here. And Larwin, that's why we're here. To get people saved, to grow closer to God, to do his will. And in the end, we have to trust him that his will is good for us. We have to trust in that. We have to trust, first of all, that his son came and died for us, and that's just the first step, but there's so much more to all of that. And like I said, God has good things for us. Trust in God. He has proven himself faithful. He is worthy of our trust. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of everything we have to give. So at the very least, at the very bare minimum, he is worthy of our trust. Amen. When we trust in him, and I'm telling you, I've had things, and especially now in my life, me and my fiance were getting married, we're trying to get a house, and this is the most that I've ever had to trust in God in my entire life. And man, it would be so easy to just give up, to be thinking all these bad things, but man, it's so easy to just let go and let God, to trust in him. It's so much easier, so much less stressful when you just know it's gonna work out. Everything will work out according to his will. God's got each and every one of us. He is not gonna overlook a single one of you. We are his foremost thought at all times, because he loves us.